appreciate the goodness of the Lord as well. He's good to us, even when we're not good to Him. We're not good to each other. I appreciate the goodness of the Lord this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter number 10. Be in the book of Mark, chapter number 10. We'll read in verse number 17. The Bible says, "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother.' And he answered and said unto him, 'Master, all these have I observed from my youth.' Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, 'One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me.' And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions." We find here in our text of Scripture, in Mark chapter number 10, the account of what many would call the rich young ruler, who asked the Lord Jesus Christ a very important question. He asked the Lord, "What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" I personally believe this morning in context that the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about the inheritance and the millennial kingdom found in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verses 9 and 10, and also in Galatians chapter number 5 and verses 19 through 21, although there will be some that would disagree and would consider this a dispensational truth that a man works his way to heaven. And I've been taught that as well. But this morning, that's not what I'm going to preach and teach. Amen. I'm going to teach it how I believe that the Word of God is portraying this truth to us this morning. We read in the Word of God in the account of Luke in chapter number 18, verse number 23, that this young man was very rich. Matthew chapter 19, verse number 20 calls him a young man. And in Luke 18, verse 18 says that he was a certain ruler. So that's where we get the name that he was a rich young ruler. But this morning, as we examine the life of this young man, this rich young man, this rich young ruler, we find that this young man is like many of the young men that sit in our churches today. There's not much difference between this young man and the young men that are sitting under the sound of my preaching this morning. I thought about what this young man had been involved in, the things that he had seen, the things that he had witnessed, the things that he had heard, the things that he had experienced were the same things that many of the young men in our church today have experienced. I want to say, number one, that this young ruler, this young rich ruler, was a church member. In verse number 17, we find that he was eager to get to church. The Bible says he came one running. I mean, he was an eager young man. He was a church member, and we find that he was a humble young man. I mean, he did not come pridefully or boastfully. He came very eagerly to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he came to him, and the Bible says that he kneeled to him in verse number 17. He was a church member. I mean, he had experienced the things of God. He had seen God move. He had been raised in the temple. He had been raised around the Word of God. We find that he was a church member. He was a commandment memorizer. He had the commandments memorized, according to verse number 19. The Bible says when Jesus began to talk to him, he said, "Thou knowest the commandments." And Jesus began to talk to him and tell him, hey, you know, do not commit adultery. You know, don't kill. You know, don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. I mean, he knew the word of God, just like some of you this morning know the things of God. You've been raised in this thing. I mean, you've been in this thing since the nursery. Amen. I mean, you know all about it. You know every square inch of this place. He memorized the commandments. He was a commandments memorizer. He's a church member. Notice here that also he was courteous to the master. When Jesus began to talk to him, notice that he began to talk to Jesus. Jesus talked back to him, but he said to the Lord, he said, good master. He was a courteous young man, very discerning. He was very spiritually minded. He knew the word of God. He knew about church. He had been raised in all of this. He knew who Jesus was. He knew that he was the good master. Jesus said, there's none that is good but God. He discerned that Jesus was God. He was the Son of God. And yet we find that Jesus began to talk back to this man. And I want to say this morning that this young man was a good young man. Now you might say, well, the Bible says there's none that doeth good. You understand what I'm saying this morning. I mean, he was an upright individual. And look at verse number 20. And the Bible says here, and he answered and said unto him, Master, after Jesus quoted to him all of these commandments, the word of God, he said, Jesus said, you have done all of these things. You have seen the power of God. You have seen the preaching. You have seen the commandments of God. Jesus began to talk to him. And said, he said back, Master, all these have I observed, verse number 20, from my youth. And in verse number 21, the Bible says, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. One thing. He said, there's one thing that's missing in your life. That fellow said, Jesus, I've kept all the commandments. Jesus didn't call him a liar. I mean, did you notice that? He said, hey, I have kept all the commandments. And Jesus did not say, you're a liar. You know why? Because he was telling the truth. He was an upright individual. That young man never committed adultery. He was never angry with his brother without a cause or hated his brother. He did not lie. He honored his and obeyed his mama and his daddy. That was a good young man. He was not a hypocrite like those Pharisees in Matthew chapter number 23. Jesus loved this young man because he was a righteous young man and because he was a sincere young man. But Jesus put a test on that rich young ruler on the one commandment that he omitted. You know what it was? When Jesus began to tell him that he knew all of these commandments, Jesus began to rattle off these commandments, but purposely we find that he omitted one. You know which one he didn't omit, that he did not put in there? Thou shalt not covet. And we read in verse number 21 that he said this words to the Lord, as he said, then Jesus behold him, love him, and said, one thing thou lackest, and he put him to the test. Go thy way, verse 21, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. Jesus said, hey, you are lacking one thing. It was covetousness. Jesus put him to the test. You know what covetousness is? Covetousness, according to Colossians chapter 3, verse number 5, is idolatry. And we are about to see that this young man has an idol in his heart. And it's a materialistic one. We find here in our text that this young man isn't loving God as he ought, and he isn't loving his neighbor as he ought, because he's covetous. And the Lord Jesus Christ is using the law against this young man to expose his sin to him, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful, according to Romans chapter 7 and verse number 13. That's one of the uses of the law this morning. One of the uses of the law is to expose and to convict sin. Aren't you glad, thank God, for the laws of God that we have in this book that exposes and convicts the sin in our life where God can say, hey, that right there, one thing thou lackest. When we think we have it all together, when we come to the Master very humbly, very boldly, very eagerly, amen, Jesus knows all about the one thing that we're lacking in our life, doesn't He, this morning? What is it in your life that you're lacking? The one thing that thou lackest. So I want to preach this morning on that subject, just one thing. Just one thing. You know, it's normally just one thing, isn't it? Man, you say, Brother Brian, I've got all this together. I got this together. I've got that together. Hey, I've got all this. I've got it all lined up. I'm doing all right. This man had it all together, seemingly, didn't he? I mean, he was clean as a hound's tooth. So he thought. And Jesus said, hey, one thing, you're coming short. One thing that thou lackest. And Jesus exposed him for what he really was. And when Jesus got through with that young man, he did not humble himself and follow Jesus Christ. But the Bible says in verse 22, and he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. You know, it's normally just one thing. I thought about the one thing. Number one, it's normally just one thing that keeps some people from being forgiven of all their sins. Just normally one thing. Say, Brother Brian, what is it? I don't know what it is this morning, but I know this morning in a crowd this size with visitors and people, amen, that don't come very often. Maybe you come every now and then and you come and you sit under the sound of the preaching of the Word of God. And I don't know what it is this morning, but I tell you this, it's probably just one thing that's keeping you from getting born again, from getting your sins forgiven this morning. You know what it is of many people? It's time. You see, time is a blessing, isn't it? When someone is diagnosed with cancer, you know one thing they want to hear? They want to know how much time they got left. You know why? Because it's a blessing. Time is memories. It's time spent with family and friends and loved ones. And time is a blessing. But one thing about time is time swiftly passes away, doesn't it? Time ticks away so fast. And the devil this morning will use time in your life to get your mind off of the things that you need to get it on. Amen. It's the one thing that's keeping some people from being forgiven of all their sins. You know, you're not promised tomorrow. You're not promised, amen, even this afternoon. You know, the Bible says in James chapter 4, verse number 14, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a what? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. It just seems like I just turned 20. And then I just turned 30. And I'm sure some of you folks that's been alive longer are saying, hey, you have no idea, and I don't. But the truth is, time does go by so quickly. Man, it's like you're 9, and then you're 9, and then you're 9, then you're 10, then you're 10, then you're 10, then you're 10, then you're 11, then you're 12, and then you're 12, then you're 12, then you're 12, and then finally you're 13. Glory to God, I'm a teenager. Then you're 14. Then you're 14. Man, you want to get your permit so bad. Then you're 15. Oh, glory to God, I got my permit. I can drive with my parents. Amen. Then you're 15. Then you're 15. Then you're 15. Then you're 15. You can't wait to be 16 so you can drive. Then you're 17. Then you're 17. Then you're 17. Praise God, I can't wait till I'm 18 so I can get out on my own. I'm an adult. And then you turn 18. The next thing you know, you're 50. Time goes by so fast. You know what the devil will do? He'll come by your way and say, you got time? And one thing some of you lack this morning is time.
You might not have another chance to hear the gospel, to respond to the invitation, to get born again. One thing thou lackest is time. And one thing is going to get you. And amen, you're going to die and go to hell without God because you lacked one thing that kept you from being forgiven. And the devil said, you got time. Sometimes it's treasure. In this young man's case, treasure was the one thing that kept him from Jesus Christ. In verse number 22 of our text, the Bible says, and he was sad at that saying and went away grieved. You know what I'm glad of this morning? I'm glad this morning that you don't have to choose between treasure and Jesus Christ. You really don't have to. Because this morning, listen, the verse I got right with God on was this. Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. Aren't you glad this morning? If you follow Jesus Christ, you might not have earthly riches down here. Amen. But thank God, the blessing of the Lord, it's what makes you rich. And the Bible says, and he addeth no sorrow with it. There's nothing like the blessing of God upon your life. Hey, and this man made a bad trade when he walked away from the good master, the one that had his best interest at heart. And the Bible says he walked away sorrowing, amen, and grieved because he had great possessions. He was sad. He should have been sad. He walked away from Jesus Christ. How many of you are going to walk away from him? I wonder how many this morning, under the sound of the preaching of the Word of God, on this day, you're walking away from Jesus Christ week after week, service after service, and it's one thing, just one thing in your life that'll keep you from being forgiven of all your sins. Treasure. You know what else it is? Sometimes it's the truth. You see, this young man, he had it all together religiously, but one thing that he never came to grips with was the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. You see, he kept all the commandments except the one. Just one. He had it all together. Jesus said, one thing. Just one thing this morning that got him. What's the one thing that's going to get you and send you to hell for all eternity? That's getting between you and God. You and Jesus Christ. One thing that's going to keep you from being forgiven of all of your sins. You know, this morning hell is full of good, religious, clean, upright, courteous, eager, humble young men. Full of them. You know why? Because it's not a whole bunch of things in their life. Because they got everything together, so it seems. They come to church. They've been raised in this thing their whole life. They know the verses of Scripture. They know what to say. They know the songs to sing. Hey, they've been around this all their life. But guess what? You don't go to heaven, amen, by being amen, like a butterfly. I'm just a little worm, and then turn into a little cocoon and then fly away. This morning, you must, Jesus said, you must be born again. Have you? Have you been born again? I want you to think about that. One thing that's keeping you from being forgiven of all your sins. Number two, you know, it's just normally one thing. Just one thing. They keep some people from forgetting what's behind them. Just one thing. You know what Paul said? Philippians chapter 3 verses 13 and 14. Listen to this. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this what? One thing. That's what Paul said. Paul said, but this one thing I do. What did he say? Forgetting. Forgetting. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You say, what is the one thing that keeps some people from forgetting what's behind them? I'll tell you what it is. Because of something that was said. Some people just can't get over it, can they? Here's what I learned in life. Hurt people hurt people. And you have to understand that sometimes people hurt you because they've been hurt. And they're not meaning to hurt. They're just hurting. And hurt people hurt people. You know what Paul said you're going to have to do? You're going to have to forget it. You're going to have to forget that thing which is behind you because of something that was said. The one thing is something somebody said, and you just can't get over it. You just can't get over it. Oh, you cannot move on to victory in Jesus Christ. Hey, and you're going to have to be the one that forgets it. The pastor cannot do it for you. Your wife cannot do it for you. Your husband cannot do it for you. Hey, man, listen, Jesus Christ will not do it for you. Hey, he will not do for you what you can do yourself. And he said, you're going to have to forget it. You're going to have to put it under the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And sometimes those things that were said are things that you supposed. Well, I've been guilty. Supposed. Pastor Farley preached one of the greatest messages I've ever heard on supposing. I'll never forget it. It was good. But you know what supposing will do? Supposing something that was said, supposing something that you saw, supposing something that you heard, you suppose something that you believed. In Luke chapter 2, verse number 44, they left Jesus Christ behind because the Bible says they supposed that he was in the company and they went a whole day's journey without Jesus. You know why? Because they supposed. You know what else? In Acts chapter 16, verse 27, the keeper of the prison almost committed suicide because he supposed that the prisoners fled from the prison when the prison doors were opened. In Mark chapter 6, verse 49, the disciples saw Jesus and they supposed that it had been a spirit. I'm just saying that supposing can get you into a whole lot of needless trouble. You know what it'll do? It'll make you see things you really didn't see. It'll make you repeat things that you never did hear. It'll make you do things that you never would do, supposing. It'll make you believe things that you really don't believe. And Paul said, hey, forgetting those things that are behind, and the one thing that's keeping some people from forgetting is something that was said back there in the past. Something back yonder. By a preacher, by a family member, by a husband, by a wife. Something back there, and you just cannot let it go. And Paul said, this one thing I do, forgetting. Something that was said. Sometimes the one thing back yonder that you need to forget is a storm you went through. He said, Brother Brian, how in the world can I forget a storm? Sometimes it's the horrible storm of divorce. I have... The more I'm around, and I don't have much wisdom. I'm young and dumb this morning. Somebody can say amen if it's your opportunity right here. Amen. I'll say it myself. But the longer that I'm in church and the longer I'm around God's people, the more people I see that went through a divorce way back yonder, and they never can get over it. And it's the one thing that's keeping them from following Jesus Christ because they will not forget. Listen, you're going to have to forget some things. You're going to have to forget some storms that you went through. I'm not saying, amen, that you sweep it under the rug. Hey, you got to take care of your responsibilities. I understand that. Amen. Divorce is the gift that keeps on giving. I mean, you got child support. Some of you, amen, got an ex-wife that won't leave you alone. Hey, but you know what you're going to have to do to go on for God? You're going to have to do what Jesus Christ said. You're going to have to do what Paul said. You're just going to have to forget it and go on for God. Forget it of something you went through. You said, Brother Brian, I just can't get over that storm. Paul said, just forget it. Paul went through some storms. I mean, Acts 27, you ever read it? Shipwrecked. Storm after storm, the times that he was alone, and the times that he fasted, the times that he was beaten. Storms, death of a loved one, deserted by family and friends. Some of you are going to have to forget it. And then number three here, sometimes the one thing that keeps some people forgetting and going on for God is some sin that they committed in the past. You know, sometimes these things happened to us before you got saved. It's amazing how people can get born again and yet they can't never get over something that Jesus Christ forgave them of when they got born again. Sometimes it's something that you did after you got saved. Something that you committed. You said, Lord, I'm never going to do that again. Lord, I'm never going to drink that. I'm never going to go there. I'm never going to do that. And you did it. And it's some sin in your life. Amen. And you're just going to have to forget it. And sometimes it's not only something that happened in the past and something that happened before you got saved, something that happened since you got saved. Sometimes it's something that happened to you since you sold out to God, lock, stock, and barrel to Him. Man, you thought, man, I'm going to serve Jesus Christ. I'm going to give Him my all. I'm going to sell out there. Everything I bring to God, I'm going to lay it at His feet. I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to follow Him. And then you did something after you did that, and you just can't forget it. Join the club. We've all messed up. The Bible says a just man falls seven times and he rises up again. You know what you need to do this morning? Put it under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and leave it there. And don't go checking on your sin and seeing if it's still under the blood. If you put it under there, it's still there. Amen. It's still forgiven. Amen. Don't go see how it's doing. You ever seen some people do that? Amen. They put their sin under the blood. Hey, and they say, thank God He cast my sin as far as the east is from the west. He threw them in the sea of God's forgetfulness. Then they put on the scuba gear. And they go, amen, scuba diving in the sea of God's forgetfulness. Well, I remember this one. Hey, what God calls clean, let no man call unclean. Amen. Get it under the blood and go on for God and just forget it. And many times it's one thing. Just one thing. You can't let go of and keep under the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, I think some people enjoy wallowing in it, don't they? I mean, listen, because of self-pity. Some people, they committed something back there and they just love to talk about it. They talk about it in their prayers. Oh God, I'm so thankful that Lord, You found me. Amen. Stop talking about your past. Where God found you, amen. Just thank God where you are now, amen. And leave all that alone. There's some people that carry it around like it's a trophy. Amen. And then sometimes they just wallow in self-pity because of something that they did. And that self-pity makes them feel good about themselves because they feel so bad about themselves. It makes them feel good about themselves because they feel so bad about themselves. You ever met anybody like that? They just love feeling bad about how wicked they've been and how they deserve all of this judgment and all of this sorrow and all of this heartache because of what they were and what they did. And boy, I tell you, they just walk around like it's a badge of honor. Just forget it. One thing that's keeping you from doing it. Hey, get it under the blood and go on for God. Just forget it. What is the one thing that's keeping you from forgetting? People sit there mad at their husband, mad at their wife, mad at their friends. They're mad at things they don't even know why they're mad at. Because they just can't forget it. Boy, I'm thankful. Amen. Thank God the Lord forgets it. Amen. Thank God He don't hang it over our head. Stop hanging it over your own head. Stop hanging it over your wife's head, your husband's head. Amen. Just forget it and go on for God. Amen. We're all a wreck without Him. Amen. Thank God He don't treat us that way. We ought not to treat ourselves that way, our friends that way, our family that way. Hey, just forget it and go on for God. But Jesus said, one thing thou lackest. What's the one thing? This morning while I preached, the Holy Ghost said, that's it. That's the one thing. And you'll never do what Paul said, pressing amen, towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. You know why you won't go forward? Because you keep looking backwards. Just one thing. And then number three here, it's just one thing that's keeping some people from fellowshipping with God. In Luke chapter 10, verse number 42, Jesus said, but one thing to Martha. He said, Martha, one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. You know what it was? It was Martha thought the one thing that was needful was service. And Jesus said to Martha, one thing's needful, Martha. It's fellowship and it's worship. It's not service. It's sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Martha couldn't get over it because she was cumbered about with so many things, so much service. Man, she's serving the Lord. Man, she's doing all this activity. And man, it makes her feel good about herself, doesn't it? I mean, here Mary is. All this work needs to be done. Jesus is in the house and Mary's down at his feet. Amen. Worshiping the Lord, and the Lord's liking it. And here comes Martha. Amen. And said, hey, what in the world's she doing that? Don't she know there's a whole lot of work that needs to be done around here? And Jesus said, Martha, one thing's needful. There's one thing you're missing. It's one thing that'll keep you from worshiping God. Sometimes it's service, isn't it? And that seems like a contradiction from what we've been taught in so many places and even some preaching that we've heard. But sometimes our service can be the one thing that keeps us from fellowshipping with God. Many times it's service that it makes us feel spiritual. It makes us look spiritual. It makes us even act spiritual. And Jesus is saying this, that to guard your heart from letting your service or your ministry be the reason why you fellowship with God. Because if that's the reason why, then God might take away your service. And what are you going to do then? Because your service was the reason why you fellowshiped. I have personally known preachers who used to pastor or were in evangelism, and their motivation for fellowshipping with God was their service. And when their service got taken away, they got blown out of the water because things were backwards. And he said, one thing's needful. You know what's needful around here? Worship. Worship. When God comes and meets with us, hey, you know what it's time to do? It's not time to be cumbered about with so much service. It's time to find where Jesus is and get at his feet and worship him. You know what Paul said? Paul been saved for years, and he penned the words in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. I cannot help but think of Preacher Dan Metters right here. A man who served the Lord for 15 years on the streets of Houston and then another 20 plus years in full-time evangelism. And now God has his man bound at home in a chair in his living room. And Preacher Dan has said it to me personally, that God might fill that room with that Levitical cloud in the presence of God. He said, I just thought I knew the Lord. He said, I didn't know the Lord like I know him now. You know what sometimes gets in our way? I'm preaching to myself. Service to the Lord. When God wants not service, he wants fellowship. And he said to Martha, one thing thou lackest. One thing is needful, not all the service, fellowship. What's the one thing that's keeping you this morning from fellowshipping with God? And then I'll be done with this. Look at Psalms 27, verse number 4. I'm talking about one thing.
One thing thou lackest when it comes to having your sins forgiven. One thing thou lackest when it comes to forgetting those things which are behind. One thing that thou lackest when it comes to fellowshipping with God. And then here's what the psalmist David said, that there's just one thing that we must desire. I'm going to kind of change the direction of the message. He said, one thing that we must desire if we are going to finish well. I like what David said in Psalms 27, verse number 4. He said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. He said, there's three things that you must do if you're going to finish well, as Brother Gary Luther, Daddy Lou, said this morning. We're too close to home. There's one thing that Paul said. He said, one thing have I desired. Number one, he said, I desire to stay in church. He said, one thing have I desired, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, not some, not in my younger days, not my middle days, not in my latter days. Hey, he said, all the days of my life. Listen, church is our life. If you're going to finish well, hey, you're going to have to do one thing this morning. And he said, that's you got to stay in church. Listen, there's no place like this place. Man, Brother Cody Zorn, I wish I could preach like him. Amen. I tell him every time I hear him preach, I said, man, I am not called. Amen. I said, if I had papers, I'd turn them in. Amen. I mean, listen, thank God for a man who can preach the word of God. But hey, I'm saying this morning, hey, there's one thing that we must do if we're going to finish well, and that is to stay in church. And I like what he preached on there. He said that there's no place like this place. I loved this place. There's no place like the Shady Acres Baptist Church, is there? I talked with a man this week who is no longer here, not out of fellowship with the church, but just no longer here. And he said this, we were talking about Shady Acres in a good way. And he said, one thing that I miss about Shady Acres, he said, I miss the wisdom of Shady Acres Baptist Church. He said, when you're there, he said, you don't really realize how much wisdom is there until you're away. And he said, then you realize that these people out here, a lot of these people, a lot of these pastors, a lot of these church members, they're clueless as to what God's doing in the work of God. And he said, I miss the wisdom of this place. And I thought about what he was saying. I pondered on that as I drove home. And I thought about James 3:17 that said that wisdom is from above. And the reason why there's so much wisdom in this place is because this place is a place where the Holy Ghost comes and the Holy Ghost hangs out. It's a place where God is. And above comes down, and we have wisdom. We don't even understand how much wisdom's in here. Wisdom that comes from our pastor. Wisdom that comes from this book. Wisdom that comes just from the Holy Ghost talking to us. I'm talking about this place. Stay in church. Don't jump ship. Don't leave. This is God's place. And make this place your place. He said, I've desired that this place would, the house of the Lord, that I would dwell there all the days of my life. He said, stay in church. The number two, he said, stay upon God. You know why? I thought about it. He's Isaiah 50 verse 10. Where Isaiah said, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Here's what he told him to do. A man that's in darkness. Because we live in a dark world, don't we? And he said, you must stay upon God. He said, let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. You know what that word stay means? It means to focus. It means to fix. And you know what you must do while you journey through this life as you stay in church, you stay focused upon God, is you must keep your eyes on Him, because there's a bunch of foolishness that will go on around you that will blow you out.
You're already there. Let me turn there real quick. I'm going to show you. I was reading through this morning. I'm almost done. This is my last point. But as I was reading through here, I kept reading this chapter. And David begins to talk here about these trials and how he needs God's wisdom and this tabernacle and the sacrifice and the joy and the singing. But then he said here in verse number 10, look at Psalm 27, verse 10, because this is what's going to happen in life. If you're going to finish well and you desire to finish well, he said, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. You know what you're going to have to do? Stay upon God. Because friends, father, mother, people you love, they're going to forsake. And you must keep on going. Stay in church. Stay upon God. And then he said lastly here, and to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. He said we must continue to seek the truth. Stay hungry for God and the words of God. One thing. What's the one thing this morning that's keeping you from being born again? What's the one thing that's keeping you from moving forward? What's the one thing that's keeping you from fellowship with God? And what will be the one thing that David talked about that's going to keep you from finishing well? The piano player comes. Father, Lord, we know it's just one thing. And Lord, that thing's probably different in many people's lives. Father, I pray this morning that you would take that one thing and bring it to light, memory of your people this morning. Father, I pray that you might take that one thing in the life of a lost person here this morning. And no doubt in our service this morning, there's people, they're going to die and go to hell without Jesus Christ if this morning they do not get born again. I pray this morning that they get saved before it's eternally too late. And then help us that are saved to deal with that one thing that's keeping us from following Jesus Christ, fellowshipping with God, finishing well, forgetting those things which are behind. Father, just one thing I pray that you deal with this morning and have your will and your way in Jesus' name. Amen. What number, Brother Gary?
It's all sanitary, number 270.
Just one thing this morning. The altars are open if you need to come. Sinner friend, if you've never been saved by the good grace of God, oh, don't let one thing keep you from Jesus. One thing keep you from heaven. One thing keep you from getting your sins forgiven. Oh, church, why don't you pray? There's lost people here. We must pray, preach. We're going to compel them to come as we sing this morning, just one thing.